And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for the rest of the band. The rest of the band, there's a story behind all of that, and in coming shows, you'll find out exactly what's going to happen to the band. But in the meantime, there's much more pressing things to talk about, including some of the upcoming events for the Alzheimer's Association of El Paso. And with me this afternoon is Susie Gorman, the Development Director to the Alzheimer's Association of El Paso. Welcome to El Paso Primetime, Susie.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. We have so much to talk about, but let's first start talking about what's coming up.
Okay, I can do that. The biggest and the first event that's coming up is on June 21st, and it's called The Longest Day. And The Longest Day is a national fundraising event for the Alzheimer's Association. We do the Walk to End Alzheimer's is what most people are familiar with, and that's in the fall. They've added this event to show people how to support individuals who live with Alzheimer's every day, with their endurance, their patience, caregivers, and individuals alike. So they've chosen June 21st because it is the longest day of the year. So what's going to happen on this day is individuals who want to get involved are going to form teams or join a team, and they can do anything they want for 16 hours from sunrise to sunset. And they can hike, they can bike, they can read books, they can go sit in a movie theater, anything that they enjoy doing. So the first step would be for them to go to the Alzheimer's Association, ALZ.org website, and sign up for The Longest Day. There's a $35 registration fee, and with that $35, they will get a Longest Day t-shirt, they'll get glow sticks and a thank you card. So they'll wear it proudly on the 21st as they're raising funds. As I said, it's a fundraiser. We would love to see the teams work through the entire day for those 16 hours and set a goal of each individual on the team raising $100. So if you had a team of 16 people, everybody did what they'd love for 1 hour, they'd raise $1,600, which would be the ultimate goal.
Right.
Of course, anything is welcome, less than that, more than that. But the opportunity for the community to get involved and see what it's like in the day of a person with Alzheimer's.
What a unique way to, I hesitate to call it celebrate, but it is. It's a celebration of living with Alzheimer's and living with a person who has Alzheimer's and how to make sure that both individuals, both the one afflicted and the one who's a caregiving, understand exactly how that's happening.
Exactly. And I think the day was set up to honor the strength and the endurance. And, you know, most people get up early in the morning, they go to work, they go about their day, they come home, they relax, they go to bed, you know, they wake up and they start over. But I think the purpose of this event is to show that there is no stopping. It does not stop. So there's a 16-hour day, but that's every day. You know, for us, it's an event once on June 21st. But for those in the trenches living with or a caregiver to anyone with Alzheimer's disease, that is a daily routine.
It's a personal note for me on two ends, and I guess I'm coming out on this one. My dad seemed to have early onset of Alzheimer's time that he passed away. And he passed away at the age of 71 in 1999 of a massive heart attack. And yes, we miss him every day, but he was born on June 21st.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got hired at this radio station on June 21st, 1999. So that would be my 14th anniversary. So I would like to get involved with this and honor him and honor all to do this sort of thing. And I think that's a nice invitation for our listeners to do the same as well.
Absolutely. That would be awesome. You know, if someone needed more information and they would rather talk to someone, I am happy to go visit with them. I can help anybody get a team set up. They can call us at the office. They can visit the website, like I said earlier. I think it's just a very unique way to show support, and also to learn about the disease and learn about those affected, what they're going through on a regular basis. It's a $35 fee, like I said earlier, to registration, which really isn't much to ask.
That really isn't.
It's not. And then the fundraising isn't something that you have to do yourself. I should say you have to do it, but you don't have to donate it to yourself. You know, you could ask pledges from friends saying, hey, I'm doing this, you know, and I've committed to 16 hours. And, you know, you do what you can to get up to that $100. It's a great event. Like you said earlier, it's a unique event.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal nationwide is to have a minimum of 100 teams. So we're on our way. We've set that for ourselves. I think we're over the halfway point as of couple days ago when I checked. We don't have an official team in El Paso right now, so we would be thrilled to have one team, five team, 10 teams. Anything we could get would be just wonderful.
That would be wonderful. And it starts right here with the invitation for one of our listeners or all of our listeners to create teams in order to do this, because the longest day is quite an honorable way to look at the disease. And the other way is to fund the research for Alzheimer's and find out where it's all going and how to stem the tide, if you will.
Absolutely. You know, there's over 5 million Americans right now living with the disease, and there's no cure, and it's fatal. It's just plain and simple. And so we kind of have a slogan within the Alzheimer's Association that says the end of Alzheimer's starts with me. So everybody can do something. Everybody can get involved and make a difference. When we talk about fundraising, so many times people want to know what exactly is staying in El Paso and what exactly are you funding? And, you know, the funding has to go to different places.
Right.
And one key place is research, because the goal of the Alzheimer's Association is ultimately to put itself out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And that will happen the day we find a cure for the disease. So without the funding going to research, that's not going to happen. So a big chunk of our money does go to research, and it's needed and it's necessary. A portion of the money raised also goes to all of our programs and services that we provide. If anybody has questions about that, we have support groups for caregivers. We have early stage groups for those that are in the early stages of the disease. We have a speakers bureau. We have a medic alert. We have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline. So the services that we provide are endless, and those are also funded, of course, by any donations and all the money that we raise.
Do you find it surprising in this day of age and age that people still don't realize how many services Alzheimer's Association of El Paso offers?
You know, I am surprised. I run into people that are so thankful and so appreciative for what we do, and they've used our services. And for every one of those, there's another one, if not two, that say, I didn't even know you were there. You know, I don't know. I think it comes with the disease. I think the disease, so many times people look at it as an old person's disease. Well, it's not. You know, it's not a normal sign of aging, and it's fatal. And so people just – I think there's a denial effect. I don't know if that's technically correct word to use. But, mm-hmm. You know, people start seeing things, oh, mom's getting forgetful. Oh, well, she's 75 or she's 80 years old, or, you know, they can't remember this or they can't remember that. There are 10 warning signs. And so I think people don't look at that first and think that there's something wrong to use our services. And then the other thing is to get a proper diagnosis is so important. So the general practitioner that your mom goes to every day may not be the right person.
Right.
So you need to look further. So I think that's it. You know, I think there's this whole process. And then I think what happens is somebody gets a diagnosis and it's like getting slapped in the face. And they say, now what do I do? And that's where we come in.
Mm-hmm.
So we are there. We are available. We have a wonderful new program with physician outreach to educate the physicians more about the disease and to educate them about our services.
Right.
So hopefully all these things combined. The other thing that's a sad truth is that disease is on the rise, and especially with the baby boomers turning 65. You're going to start seeing a lot more people with Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
And so they're going to be needing our services. So unfortunately, at this point, at this day and time, it's a growing disease. And it's not going to stop.
when anyone accesses ALZ.org, one of the things that you're going to be able to download is a PDF that spells out pretty much the 47 different types of dementia. What is Alzheimer's? What are those forms of dementia? What are the 10 signs to look for when that starts to happen? You know, it strikes me, and one of the reasons why I'm so interested in this, Glenn Campbell cut an album in 2011, and that was his farewell album. And he said so in a press conference, this is my final album before anything else happens. I want to be able to go out with a high note and thank all of you for support. I have early onset of Alzheimer's. And it blew me away.
It's interesting that you bring Glenn Campbell up. I had the fortune and pleasure to attend the 2013 Alzheimer's Advocate Symposium in Washington, D.C. And Glenn Campbell and his family were there, and they were honored at the national dinner. And his daughter spoke to the Senate. We visited Capitol Hill, but it was a huge role. He played a huge role in his family in that day. The advocacy forum, it was the biggest one they'd had this year. They've been doing it for 25 years, so it was an honor to be there. But you know, in addition to Glenn Campbell, you know, they were talking about people. There was a woman there whose husband was diagnosed, I believe, at the age 37, and he passed away last year at the age of 46. So it's not an old person's disease. You know, people that are coming out. I mean, I'm so proud of Glenn Campbell and various celebrities for opening up and for being forthcoming about the disease, because it does bring attention.
Right.
And as unfortunate it is, it does help the association.
Yeah, and it furthers the cause to find a cure. When Pat Summitt last year stepped down from her role as head basketball coach over at Tennessee and said, this is it, you know, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to coach anymore, here's the reason why, and then spelled it out, not only about the early onset of Alzheimer's, but she discussed the specific form of dementia that she is now having to go through. And from what I understand, she's chronicled as much as she can and now has somebody with her to be able to continue that process, because the two of them find it so not only enlightening, but very vital to be able to chronicle the entire process so that someone else who is going through that same particular avenue can see how to take care of this, both from a caregiver standpoint and from the person who gets afflicted.
Absolutely. She's doing wonderful things for the cause. And as well as Glenn Campbell. Mm-hmm. There are two, I don't know that they're directors or producers. I'm not really sure what their titles are, but they're actually doing a documentary on Glenn Campbell. You know, he's opened himself up, his family, his home, so that they can follow the disease, which, you know, things like what Glenn Campbell's doing, things like what Pat Summitt's doing, you know, it brings attention to the disease. It not just to the association, but people have to realize, you know, this is real. This is happening, and it's happening around us, and it's happening a lot more than I think we realize.
Uh-huh.
So anyone that speaks out on behalf of Alzheimer's disease and the Alzheimer's Association, we're very grateful for that.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, and people have to realize this as well, just like cancer, just like heart disease, just like diabetes, it has no specific target other than a person. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is. It doesn't matter if you're high, low, whatever. It's going to hit if you're predisposed to it. And even if you're not, if there's something that's chemically involved in not having synapses in your brain, it's going to lead to that sort of thing. I read Dr. Donald Moss's book, and that's been enlightening me even more so, because there is a potential for this drug to stave off some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's. And it's very important, but it's also one of those things that needs funding. And it also needs advocacy in Congress and at the FBA to make that happen.
Right. Part of our responsibility in Washington, D.C. in April at the Advocacy Forum was to ask Congress for their support, was to ask our representatives for their support and for the funding. President Obama signed the NAPA Act, which is the National Alzheimer's Plan, and I believe set aside $80 million. And so what we're really looking for is $100 million, $80 million of that to go to research. And what we need them to do is actually to release those funds so that we can get busy, so we can get to work.
Yeah.
There, at this point, there There is no cure. There is no one drug.
Right.
There are many drugs available that are being tested and being used. So based on research and trials, that's all we have to go with right now. You know, and the other thing that goes hand in hand with the research is the program, the Trial Match Program. So individuals can register and they would actually go to a trial where they would be given placebos, a drug. You know, there's more information on how the whole thing works. Somebody with early stage Alzheimer's can participate. And that helps in the research. You know, that helps in figuring out, did this work? Does this not work? You know, any new drug has a trial match period. Trial match is specific to Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, there's just so many ways that research helps. And there are so many ways that individuals can get involved in research. Writing a check, participating in trial match. Advocacy, as you mentioned earlier, is huge. To march, you know, on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., those are advocates. Those are our ambassadors trying to get the attention. And it all just goes hand in hand. The money, the research, the advocacy, the programs, the services, the volunteers, the community. It just all goes together.
Absolutely. This is El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting here with Susie Gorman. She's the development director locally of the Alzheimer's Association of El Paso. We've been talking about advocacy. We've been talking about all kinds of things that have to do with Alzheimer's. And if you're a caregiver listening to this program right now and need more information, Susie, how do they get a hold of you specifically?
Specifically, our local number is 544-1799. We also have an 800 number, the helpline. But if somebody wanted to know about programs and services on a local basis, wanted a local schedule, I would ask them to call us locally. If they need immediate help, if they need questions or talk to a professional 24/7, they can call 1-800-272-3900.
1-800-272-3900. You'll find that on our website under El Paso Primetime, along with the website address. So you can click on that and immediately go to alz.org and find all of the goodies that we've been telling you about. And I call them goodies because they're things that you really do need as a caregiver to understand the magnitude of what the Alzheimer's Association does in advocacy and the magnitude of what they bring to the table to help you understand how to take care of a person who has Alzheimer's, whether it's early onset or it's stage four. I mean, really and truly, it's very important that everybody get clued in to this.
Yes, there's one program that is very successful that we've been doing, and the response has been great. It's Living with Alzheimer's. And there's different stages to Alzheimer's disease, and this program is divided in stages. So, and in addition to that, this is for the caregivers, and this is also for individuals with Alzheimer's. And so part of that, there's two elements, and it's estate planning and it's legal issues. So I think one thing that we help provide that some people might not think of is, when you're diagnosed, there's a million things. I have not been diagnosed. I can only tell you what from a perspective of what people have said and what I've learned through this job. But, you know, there are so many things to do. And legal planning and financial planning are so important. They're key elements to that. You know, who knows what's going to happen and when it's going to happen.
Right.
But to be prepared. So this program not only assists people going through this process, but they also take it one step further by helping them get their things in order, get their possessions in order, what legal responsibilities they may have. So that's another program that's available on a rotating, evolving, ongoing basis for families.
And it's intriguing from several different aspects. I remember running into a friend of mine who is dealing with Alzheimer's. His mom is now in an advanced stage, and they're taking care of her and everything's good. But I remember him sitting down. We had a couple of beers at a local bar, and I just listened to him talk about how cold it was for him to start thinking in terms of, he likened it to being part of A Christmas Carol from Charles Dickens. He thought, oh, my God, now I have to do the estate planning. I have to take over the finances. I have to do this, this, and this. I never had to do that. And I said, look, bottom line, if you really want to have quality of life and peace of mind for your family, you're going to have to do that. And you're going to have to understand that you're at a level now as a caregiver where you have to do this. And if you need help, and I gave him your phone number. So I'm hoping that he called y'all because he was really feeling kind of almost – he felt like he was betraying his mom.
You know, I hear the terms betrayal. I hear the term denial. I think denial comes first. And especially for those that know about the disease or have dealt with it perhaps with another family member and it's like, oh, dear, here we go again. But there is help out there, and we are there to provide that help to anybody. You know, we've had people walk in the door and just say, you know, my mom's doing some strange things. What do you think? You know, we can provide information. And then we have people walk in the door that says, this is my mother. She is Alzheimer's and we don't want her to wander. So we have a medical alert bracelet. You know, so we get things from children about their parents early on, early onset through late stage Alzheimer's. So we're there to provide services to help people like your friend.
Yeah. And people have to understand that there's going to be a part of their lives that they're going to have to really take a look, close look at how well they can become a caregiver on their own before asking for a professional caregiver to step in.
Yeah, and I think people underestimate or perhaps don't think so much about the caregiver. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the cost of caregiving is just skyrocket. Mm-hmm. You know, people have to quit their jobs. Sometimes they lose their jobs because they're missing so much work. The stress on caregivers is extremely high. Their health is it's as important to be taken care of as the patient, the person they're taking care of with Alzheimer's disease. And I don't think people realize that. So it's extremely important that the caregiver get help for themselves as well.
I agree. There was a point when I was taking care of my mom where I was always being late to work. And the reason why is because when you're taking care of your mom and it's only you and her, there's a lot of needs that have to be taken care of before you get in the car and make sure that she's going to be okay. So oftentimes I'd get here like maybe 3-5 minutes late and there'll be problems. I know I got written up a number of times because of it, and I understand that. It came with the territory, but I also was one of those people that didn't want to tell people, listen, I'm taking care of my mom. What did you want? You know, but the bottom line is, if you're a caregiver and you're running into these problems and you're feeling like you're all alone, you're not alone.
No, you're not alone. You know, we can, I think, going back to people like yourself being late and afraid to tell, you know, I think a lot of that goes back to education. We have got to educate the public, the community about the disease and what the toll it's taking on the caregivers as well as the patients, the individuals. We have to educate our bosses. We have to educate our supervisors. We have to educate the nurses in hospitals. We have to educate physicians. And I'm not saying that nobody is uneducated, I mean, by any means. However, it's a whole new world.
Right.
And the more we know, like anything else, I think the better equipped we'll be to deal with it should the circumstances arise, whether it's in the workplace, it's in the home, it's in school. We need to educate the public.
I do, and I agree with that 100%. How sad is it that a law enforcement officer is more educated about what to look for in an Alzheimer's patient who just wandered away from home rather than the physician who took care of that person in the first place? And it starts with the education, and it starts with the Alzheimer's Association, which brings me right back to the longest day.
Again, the longest day is June 21st. It is the longest day of the year, and we are forming teams locally and nationally to honor individuals with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. It's a 16-hour day from sunrise to sunset. We're asking people to form teams, to ride, to bike, to read a book, to jog, to play ball, baseball, tennis, whatever it is they love to do. Grab their friends, form a team, visit the website at alz.org and sign your team up and join us on the longest day, June 21st.
That's very easy to do. When they come to that website, all they have to do is find El Paso to find the support groups?
Yes. Actually, yes, you can do that. Or individuals could go directly to alz.org/West Texas altogether, as if it's one word.
Okay.
And that will take them directly to our area's site, and you will see El Paso specifically listed.
That's right. You guys take care of not only El Paso County, but all the way down into Marfa and Van Horn, Sierra Blanco, and practically all of West Texas, three counties worth, no?
We have offices in Amarillo, we have an office in Midland, and we have an office in Lubbock. So West Texas is big.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then the main office is here in El Paso, and we do manage those other locations. So we have a big job.
You do have an incredible job because, quite frankly, and those of you who live in Canutillo and Tornillo, Clint, Fabens, you'll understand that when you're talking about the plains, when you're talking about the Panhandle and all of the tiny little communities out there like Perryton and Canyon and all of those things, everyone needs, because Alzheimer's isn't picky where it decides it's going to land either. And so covering those areas, yeah, I could see that.
It's a big job. We have a great staff. We have a great group of volunteers. And I have to say that I am extremely proud of El Paso. The support that we've received through event sponsors, through individuals like yourself, through the community, through individual sponsor participants and volunteers and donors and our advocates. I think if we continue to work together, you know, I think we'll bring that big gap of space together. So we are just going to continue to work hard to do that.
Absolutely. Susie Gorman has been our guest on El Paso Primetime. She's the development director locally for the Alzheimer's Association of El Paso. If you need further information,
call us at 544-1799.
Mi casa, su casa. Anytime, Susie. Come on back.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
We've been having a chat with Susie Gorman. She's the Associate Director of Development for the Alzheimer's Association here in El Paso. And if you need to get a hold of anybody at the El Paso office, it's 915-544-1799. Otherwise, around the world, it's an 800 number, 800-272-3900. We've been talking about the longest day. And this year, on 2013, June 21st, the longest day, it's a sunrise to sunset team event honoring the strength, passion, and endurance of those facing Alzheimer's disease. So if you need more information on that, you'll find it on our website, but I'll give it to you verbally, alz.org/the longest day. And if you seem to think that, and if you think you haven't had enough information about Alzheimer's, check out what's happening this afternoon at 3 on All Things Considered, heard here on KTEP.
It could be a parent, a neighbor, a husband, yourself. The number of people living with Alzheimer's is expected to triple by the year 2050.
1 in 10 individuals over the age of 65 will actually get this disease.
I'm Jackie Leiden. Alzheimer's, the disease with so many faces and no known cure. That's next time on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That feature on Alzheimer's disease is straight ahead at 3 on All Things Considered with Jackie Leiden. You'll hear that here on 88.5 FM KTEP. This has been El Paso Primetime, a production of KTEP. Our engineer this week was Amanda Eckert. All rights reserved 2013 by the University of Texas at El Paso and by KTEP. Join us again next Saturday afternoon, same time, same place, for another edition of El Paso Primetime. We'll be right back.